This is Brand and New from the International Trademark Association. This podcast series explores changes and dynamics in the legal world, now and tomorrow, with a focus on intellectual property.
Welcome to Brand and New. I am Audrey Dove. After 5 years, around 100 episodes and countless great moments as your host, I am stepping away from the microphone to embark on a new journey, away from the podcast hosting chair. In my time as your host, Brand and New has been a vibrant space of collective exploration and connection. Across the many hours of content we have shared, you've been more than just an audience. You've been the heartbeat of every story and conversation present in more than 140 countries. Thank you for being active contributors to a journey that has been nothing short of magical. And I would like to thank our incredible guests who have generously shared their time and expertise, and your insights have been our guiding stars. I would also like to thank the INTA team and the production team, Jonah, Sophie, and Mathilde, super talented individuals. Though my voice may no longer guide you through our beloved podcast, I have a fantastic news. Brand and New will continue to flourish, to explore new topics about innovation, intellectual property, and beyond. A new talented team led by INTA will be the new voice, curating experiences and stories that will resonate with you all. I will be tuning in as a listener, right alongside you, eager to experience Brand and New from a new perspective. For my last episode as your host, who could be a better guest than the INTA CEO, Etienne Sanz de Acedo, who supported from day one this podcast, and that I would like to warmly thank for his trust and remarkable vision. Etienne has been deeply involved in the world of intellectual property, advocating for the protection and development of trademarks on a global scale. Under his leadership since 2013, INTA has worked toward enhancing consumer trust, economic growth, and innovation across international borders. He has been an influential figure steering INTA towards impactful policy advocacy and educational initiatives. Prior to leading INTA, Etienne has a rich history of more than 15 years working within the European Union Intellectual Property Office and in private practice. Etienne, thank you so much for being my last guest.
Thank you, Audrey. Very pleased to participate today in Brand and New.
So needless to say that I have tons of questions about the INTA strategic objectives and role, its adaptation to new tools, including artificial intelligence, and the intricacies of managing IP in a more and more complex environment. Over the last 5 years, going back to the moment we launched Brand and New, what have been the most significant changes that occurred in your views as CEO of the INTA, considering that this role gives you a unique vision of the IP world?
Well, first, Audrey, let me start by thanking you for leading Brand and New for the last 5 years. You know, there's been more than 100 episodes. I think we've been able to reach 140 markets, and that's quite phenomenal. So, you know, I would like to start by, you know, recognizing this and really thanking you for that. Now, going to your question, I think you're very generous saying that, you know, my position gives me a kind of unique vision of the IP world. But it's perhaps true, you know, in the sense that we interact with many officers, legislators, members, companies from around the world. So I think we have a good understanding of how IP has been and will continue evolving. Now, the question is really about, you know, what have been the most significant changes? And I think we can group those changes in three different categories. The first one is what has been happening out there. And we've gone through a pandemic. We are facing wars. We've seen many situations of social injustice. We're facing climate crisis. And now we have the impact of geopolitics on global economy and also on IP. So that's a kind of first group of big changes that have happened. Second big group has to do with technology. We've seen huge technology advancement. We've seen digital transformation. And of course, we've seen the surge of metaverse, blockchain, and more recently, AI. And that has really changed a lot of things. And last but not least, there is a three group of changes that have happened. And this is a consequence of the first two. There's been a very significant evolution in work dynamics and in business dynamics, affecting also intellectual property. And one aspect that I think is very important as well and has affected all of us has to do with mental health. And I think we're now more aware of, you know, mental health issues. All these are the changes that I've personally faced over the past 5 years. But let me perhaps, you know, turn it the other way around, Audrey, because, you know, you've been managing Brandon Yu for 5 years. You've had a chance to interview incredible speakers, leaders. So can I perhaps ask you, what is your own perspective on what you see as the major changes shaping IP and brands during this time?
Thank you. Thank you, Etienne. Yes, I've been extremely privileged and honored to interview extraordinary thinkers in the almost 100 episodes that we have posted over the last 5 years. Among, I would say, general trends and changes that have been shaping IP and brands, I could mention the rapid evolution of the digital landscape with an increased focus on social media and AI technologies, highlighting the need to better protect IP, raising questions about IP ownership, the rights and responsibilities related to IP, and so on. We have also seen the increasing impact, and you already mentioned it, of environmental and social governance on brands, including sustainability and responsible business practices in their strategies. We could also talk about the increased focus on data that becomes a critical asset for companies. And you mentioned it as well, with the war in Ukraine, the consideration of new challenges to manage IP rights in complex and challenging environments across borders. We are navigating a dynamic landscape where legal considerations, technological advancements, and at the end of the day, people expectations are shaping how IP rights are protected and leveraged. So now I have a question for you, Etienne. How do you maintain alignment with INTA mission in this changing environment? And what are the critical challenges that are addressed today by INTA?
Well, we like to position ourselves as a forward-thinking organization and as an organization that is always projecting itself into the future. And that has really helped us over time to somehow definitely not predict what was going to happen, because no one was able to predict what would happen, but somehow anticipate some of the issues. And on the other side, be agile to be able to react promptly to any of the changes that have been happening. Now, when I look at the current strategic plan, we were looking at promoting and reinforcing the value of brands. That remains our kind of, you know, legacy priority and our core business. But we've also been talking about building a better society through brands. And if you think about what I mentioned before about social justice, about climate change, about impact of geopolitics, when you try to build a better society through brands, you're exactly tapping on those issues. And then our third strategic pillar is about supporting the development of IP professionals. And so when you have technological advancement, digital transformation, data, metaverse, blockchain, AI, all these are issues that are critical for IP professionals. And this is what we've been doing over the past, I would say, 3 to 4 years. Now, The way we work on our strategic plan, we like to be as open, as inclusive as possible. And we always mandate the planning committee of the board of directors to work on the next strategic plan. So, for example, next year, the planning committee will start the process to interview INTA members, INTA staff, INTA key stakeholders, but also people that have absolutely nothing to do with intellectual property, to get a sense of what are the trends, what is happening out there, and how is that going to impact the IP ecosystem. That will really inform the next strategic plan of the association.
You already mentioned this. You've been very active to integrate DE&I pillars into INTA's operations and strategy. What are the outcomes to date?
Yes, we've been very active in the field of DEI. And let me tell you first why we've been very active in the field of DEI. We've been very active because it's the right thing to do. It's a must. Because, you know, we're part of society and we cannot accept any kind of inequalities in society. So we cannot fight global inequalities, but we can definitely try to improve things within our ecosystem. And that starts within INTA, but also within the IP industry. Perhaps there is some kind of data that I really like. I was reading recently that, you know, the top barriers to diversity, equity, and inclusion effectiveness are insufficient prioritization at top leadership levels. And that's about 45% of the reason. The second big reason for that is lack of metrics for another 40%. And surprisingly, the last one is lack of time. Now, at INTA, you know, we decided a long time ago to take DEI very seriously from all perspectives. It started with the Ayala Deutsch presidency, where we started with the Women Leadership Initiative. And then the year after, Tiki Der's presidency really looked into promoting DEI within INTA. Very interestingly, those two presidencies happened during the pandemic. Now, I'm very proud to say that thanks to visionary leaders, visionary presidents, with the support of the board and with the support of the members, today we have a DEI council at INTA. We have a DEI officer. We have a DEI mission statement. And we've been able to completely revamp the INTA Foundation that is now dedicated to supporting DEI. And really the role of the foundation is to work to expand educational and professional development opportunities in IP for diverse and underrepresented populations around the world. Let me give you just very few examples and data around it. The INTA Foundation, just in 2023, was able to fundraise $115,000. And we've been able to provide $90,000 in grants or supports to students from around the world. We've done that with four institutions, the Institute of Intellectual Property and Social Justice here in the US, linked to the Howard University, the Universidad de Rio Janeiro in Brazil, Queen Mary University in Europe, and Singapore Management University in Asia. So as I said, we're really, you know, walking the talk when it comes to DEI, and we want to keep doing so.
Thank you very much for sharing. We know INTA's contribution to education and awareness in the field of intellectual property is very strong. And of course, addition to the podcast, it's a good opportunity today to speak to certificate programs and the Unreal campaign, but also, and maybe more philosophically, I would love to hear you about the challenges of engaging non-IP audiences on the topic of IP.
Yes, absolutely. So I think here, you know, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about education and we're talking about awareness. When it comes to awareness, we really should try to reach even more the non-IP community. So we need to go a little out of our boundaries. And for that purpose, we need to perhaps interact more and interact better with the media. We need to approach more SMEs and startups. We should not forget that 90% of businesses worldwide are SMEs. We need to explain to them the value of IP, the economic value of IP, and we need to do that in simple language, in plain words. This is something that we've been developing over years. This year, 2023, the Presidential Task Force is precisely looking into that matter. Now, when it comes to education, it's very difficult to educate the general public on intellectual property. And before educating them, you need to make them aware of intellectual property. So that's one point. But when it comes to education and to your comment about certification programs, I think, you know, we need to somehow rethink a little our educational offering at INTA. We know that our membership are all IP professionals or IP experts. But we also see that, you know, there are some changes that are happening. So we probably need to rethink the format, the content, the topics, the length of our sessions, and even what I call the location. Where do we provide these kind of trainings? We've seen over years, perhaps less attendance to educational sessions at annual and leadership meeting. We put a lot of effort into those. Mm-hmm. Well, if people are not able to come to those sessions, we perhaps need to bring the sessions where they are. And that's something we're looking into. When it comes to topics, and this is about really broadening the scope of IP professionals. Of course, we need to talk about filing, prosecution, case law, and all these kind of things. Of course, we need to talk about, you know, the impact of new technologies and AI and IP and these kind of matters. But I think it's equally important to start talking more and more about the economic value of intellectual property. We put together a certification program on financials for non-finance IP experts. And this is really a great program to help lawyers understand, first, be able to read an Excel sheet, be able to somehow use it, but then really be able to understand a balance sheet and income statement, to understand the issues of profitability, and to be able to speak the language that marketing finance is speaking within a company. Now, the other thing that we're doing as well, we want to support further our trademark administrators and paralegals. And this is why I'm very happy that next year we'll be launching a certification program for them. And then last but not least, we brought back, because we're an international organization, we brought back a certification program on international trademark matters, because we think that's very relevant to our, you know, constituency.
INTA is a global association representing more than 30,000 brand owners and professionals dedicated to supporting trademarks and related intellectual property to foster consumer trust, economic growth, and innovation.
We have adapted the content of Brand New in light of the rapid technological evolution, as well as economic, social, and cultural changes impacting brands and trademarks over the years and even beyond. I even prefer talking about intellectual property in general. In the light of current crises and conflicts all over the world, some topics such as geopolitics of IP are more and more relevant, right?
Absolutely. It's very interesting because geopolitics is becoming an issue that is being discussed at the board level of many corporations, including, of course, INTA. It's definitely impacting on the way we interact with members, on the way we do business. Just referring recently to the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, or to the situation, the terrorist attacks by Hamas and the conflict that has raised as a consequence of that. Geopolitics are having a huge impact on the global economy. We're seeing a kind of, or at least the way I see it, you know, we're seeing a new reality when it comes to businesses, where surprisingly, we're in a global economy, we're in a global world, but we're seeing an increase of deglobalization. We're seeing an increase of protectionism, and that is even, you know, related somehow to climate change commitment. What I mean by that is we're seeing more and more countries saying we want to produce in our country and only in our country. At a corporation level, this is creating some kind of, you know, supply chain sovereignty. I'm going to give you a concrete example, which is probably shocking. For the first time in the last 30 years, U.S. is importing more from Mexico than from China. And that's something that probably many people do not know. Well, as a reaction of that, now we're seeing that China is investing billions and billions in Mexico. Now, why am I saying that? Well, geopolitics are affecting, you know, the global economy. They're affecting a supply chain within companies, but it's also affecting intellectual property. Geopolitical tensions between countries can affect the development and enforcement of IP laws. Countries might decide to prioritize or deprioritize IP protection from certain countries based on kind of, you know, geopolitical interests. We can see a restricted access to markets for goods and services. That could have an impact on technology transfer and collaboration. it is already having an impact on supply chains and manufacturing. And then we've seen, as a consequence of geopolitics or in parallel to geopolitics, we've seen more and more cybersecurity data protection issues. And last but not least, I'm going a little out of scope. I'm going to talk about patents here. Geopolitical rivalries might even lead to some kind of competition over standard setting processes in industries. So definitely geopolitics is having a huge impact on IP.
Our previous guest, the legal futurist Richard Seskind, talked about the future of the legal professions and the impact of artificial intelligence. What is your vision on such future within the IP ecosystem?
It, by the way, that was a great session. And I really enjoyed very much listening to Richard Seskind and what was his perspective on things. I was listening to some of, you know, the podcasts that you started 5 years ago, and none of them at that time was predicting the emergence of AI and ChatGPT, to give a concrete example. Mm-hmm. But if you look at how much time did it take to some technology to reach 100 million users, you would be shocked. It took WhatsApp, I think it's about 3.5 years. It took Instagram 2.5 years. It took TikTok 9 months. It took ChatGPT only 2 months. And that shows you how quickly AI is evolving. Richard was talking about predictive AI or generative AI. Predictive AI has been existing for many, many years, but now we're in the era of generative AI, and that's going at a huge accelerated path. Now, I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, will AI be disruptive or, you know, will AI be enriching? Why do I say that? Because quite often we talk about, you know, disruptive technology. And I personally do not totally like that, because to me, disruptive has a kind of negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And I think here we always need to look at things as either a challenge or an opportunity. I think we need to look at AI as an opportunity, as something that will enrich us. But the question we need to ask ourselves is how AI might be impacting the IP profession, and what can we do to get prepared for that? And so if you think a little about that, AI is already being used and will be further used for prior art searches, for automated drafting, potentially for IP management and administration, definitely for data analysis and predictive analytics, for trademark and brand monitoring. It's already being used by, you know, for automated contract review. And last but not least, it will definitely be used, and it's already being used, for IP litigation support. Now, the thing we should never forget about AI, we're just at inception. We're at ChatGPT 3.5. Just imagine when we'll have ChatGPT 7.0 or 8.0. So these are the kind of things that we permanently need to think about. And that is what we're trying to do at INTA, to position ourselves into the future, being forward thinking, and just putting that information out there for the benefit of our members. Audrey, if I may, you've been covering yourself AI and emerging technologies quite a few times. What is your perspective on this issue?
This is a very interesting topic, obviously, and it raises several issues. So our professions are undergoing a transformation that is influenced by the increasing integration of AI and emerging technologies. So if I take my general counsel and my podcaster hats together, I see several trends and perspectives that are shaping this evolution. And I think you already mentioned many of them. For instance, legal tech tools powered by AI, machine learning, and automation are streamlining processes such as document review, contract analysis, and legal research. Technologies that can improve due diligence processes, generate contracts, identify risks, and ensure compliance, in my view, will become more and more essential for legal professionals. Of course, and you mentioned them already, we could talk about predictive analytics used to assess the likely outcomes of legal cases, providing insights that could help us build more educated strategies. But on the other side, among the concerns, I think that we will deal more and more with data privacy and cybersecurity issues, as well as ethical and regulatory considerations. So legal professionals need to navigate issues related to bias in algorithms and ensuring compliance with evolving legal standards. So it is key to adapt to these changes through continuous learning and upskilling in areas such as legal tech and data analytics. But we as humans will continue to provide expertise, critical thinking, ethical judgment. We will enhance our efficiency and value also thanks to these tech capabilities. And do you see yourself other hot topics coming?
That's a big question. Don't we have sufficient hot topics with the challenges that we already have in front of us? Being serious, we're going to see more in the field of technology progress and digitalization and, you know, the usage of data. I think there is no doubt about that. Climate awareness and climate action will have an impact on intellectual property as well. All the situations we face, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's wars, whether, you know, it's a geopolitics, social justice, will also have a significant impact on intellectual property and organizations in general. We didn't really talk much about DEI, but that's one of the topics that is also, you know, becoming more and more important. So I think these are issues that are already there. On top of that, I think it's interesting as well to just look at numbers and trends and see what's going on within the IP industry. We see that patent filings continue to grow. Instead, we've seen trademark filings kind of dropping in 2022. At least that was the information provided by WIPO 2023 report regarding to 2022. I think that's something that is interesting to consider. Budgets at companies are somehow shrinking. So there's need to be a more efficient use of budgets when it comes to intellectual property. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, IP offices, law firms, companies will have to rethink what is the role in the future. And I think there is a big challenge for IP offices, and I'm not totally sure they're fully prepared for that. We should not forget that there is always a new generation that is coming, and new generations have a different perspective on IP and have a different perspective on what the rights are. So, you know, that's something to be considered. As professionals, as human beings, we should always have or attach importance to ethics. And that's something that that I think is extremely important. Last but not least, something that we're seeing as well within the IP ecosystem or the IP industry, we're seeing more and more equity funds that are investing into IP because they definitely see an opportunity in this industry. That's a trend that is somehow interesting to follow. It would be interesting to get your perspective on that. What do you see as other topics that what could be, you know, hot topics in the next 5 years?
This is a challenging question without a reliable crystal ball. Considering ongoing trends and emerging areas of interest, I would not be surprised to see certain topics discussed in Brand New, such as the use of AI, exactly what you just said about the ethical considerations surrounding it, the role of IP in shaping responsible AI development. One thing I've seen also, and I see more and more, is the impact of quantum technologies in the realm of IP and the challenges and opportunities it represents. So the applications of blockchain, you mentioned them already, in protecting IP, enhancing IP rights management. I also think that we will talk more about sustainable and green technologies and the role that IP should play in promoting eco-friendly innovation. And finally, maybe Brand New will offer more and more insights on data ethics and governance, including discussions on responsible data practices, privacy considerations, or at least I will be very interested to listen to episodes on these aspects. We have always tried to ensure that, to go back to your point about the brand new content. We have always tried to ensure that our content was globally insightful and relevant, considering the varied trademark and IP regulations across different regions. Among the challenges that have been highlighted in the podcast, let me ask you a question, Etienne. Which ones do you see as the most critical that should even be more explored in your view?
Well, I think they're all key, but I would say all those that have to do with, you know, the advancement of technology, particularly, you know, when it comes to AI, when it comes to big data, when it comes to Internet of Things, I think these are really, you know, the ones that probably should be even more explored, because that's a changing landscape that is every month there is something new. And we need to be absolutely up to date with those trends. And this is why I think it's extremely important to keep exploring those, which does not mean that we should not be looking into the different issues, of course.
Now I have a few rapid fire questions for you. Okay. What's your favorite episode?
Oh, my favorite episode. Can I give you two? Is it possible?
Yeah.
I very much like, I think it was one of your very first episodes, and it was, you know, I think it was about disrupting trademark law, and it was at the time about AI, big data, and social media with Professor Jane Fromer. I think that was very interesting because it was almost 5 years ago, and if you think how things have evolved in 5 years, it's very interesting to look at the perspective she gave at the time. Now, one of the most recent ones that I really loved was the one from legal and regulatory expert to a disruption and innovation leader. And I think that, you know, the responses you got from AIFA were really exceptional.
A book that you would recommend to our listeners and why?
I'm going to give you a few, if you don't mind. On a kind of more personal basis, I'm a big fan of Latin American literature. I loved The House of Spirits, Isabel Allende. And one book that I really loved was The Inhabited Woman from Gioconda Belli. The first one, House of Spirits, I think is a great description of Latin America in general as a continent, the values, the evolution of the time, you know, the sense of family and how things are evolving. The Inhabited Woman is an incredible story around Nicaragua and the different revolutions that have happened in different countries. I'm also a big fan of Mario Vargas Llosa, which is probably, you know, a little more complex to read, but I remember my dad was a big reader of Vargas Llosa, and over time I've become a big fan of him. So this is more on a personal side. From a more professional perspective, of course, as CEO of INTA, I would go to a classic, which is Managing a Not-for-Profit Organization by Peter Drucker. I think it's an incredible book, full of common sense, that I think many CEOs should read and should have kind of, you know, reference book. The other one that I liked, which is a little old, but is quite interesting, is one which is called The Innovator's Dilemma by Clayton Christensen. And that is also, you know, an interesting perspective on how companies, even big companies, can fail in implementing innovation. So these are, you know, four books. I hope you don't mind because you asked me for just one, but I gave you a few more.
Oh, no, of course not. Thank you so much for all these recommendations. I have a final question for you. Any sneak peeks you can share about upcoming format, topics, or speakers on Brand New?
Well, I would prefer to have JC Darnay, who is our director of communication, to answer that question. I think you've set an extremely high standard with Brand New, and we're very thankful to you. I think we want to follow kind of similar, but at the same time, different approach in the sense that we might have different people running the interviews. And in terms of interviewees, of course, we'll continue bringing exceptional people, people who are perhaps, you know, a little more outside our community, so that we get that kind of perspective. And definitely it's going to be around the topics we talk. So when we look at what are the big challenges ahead of us, that's what Brand New would like to tackle.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to listening to the new episode of Brand New.
Don't put pressure on us, Audrey. Audrey, since this is kind of, you know, your final episode of Brand New, And again, I really would like to stress how thankful we are to you. Incredible episodes. But do you have any kind of final words for brand and new listeners?
First, I would like to thank you, Etienne. Thank you for your trust. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. It has been a fantastic adventure during these last 5 years. And I think it would not have been possible without you. Now, a word to the listeners. Our discussions about the dynamic world of IP, the ever-evolving landscape of innovation, and the fascinating intersection of law, technology, creativity have been both enlightening and inspiring for me. I'm super proud of the community we have built together. So my very last words will be cheers to the future of Brand New.
Well, thank you again. And I think it's a very nice way to end your leadership of Brand New. Cheers to Brand New and cheers to many more episodes. So thank you again, Audrey.
Thank you. Thank you, Etienne. My guest today was Etienne Sens de Acedo, the INTEA CEO. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Brand and New, brought to you by the International Trademark Association. Be sure to tune in every 2 weeks on Tuesday for new episodes. If you like today's podcast, please subscribe and share it. We are always looking for new people to discover Brand and New. And to learn more about INTEA, its resources and events, please visit www.inta.org.